Welcome to all the members who are on the platform. A very warm welcome after a stretch of 2 weeks where we had to engage ourselves on other matters that relates to our work. I'm sure we'll try and catch up. I can see the agenda is bumper to bumper. We have never had such a long agenda in a very long time. So I'm sure we'll mean business today. All in all, we have about 7 items which we have to deal with today. So let's try and deal with those items. Without really further ado, let me allow Valerie to give us the apologies. Valerie?
Chair, there is an apology from the minister who's attending the presidential retreat. And then there is an apology from Mr. Manglu. He's on the ad hoc committee and they are traveling this morning. So he said he'll hope to log in, but it might not be possible because of the traveling.
Is the deputy minister here?
I have not seen the deputy minister logging in yet.
There is no apology as we speak.
I only received it from the minister.
So up until when do we receive apologies, Valerie? Throughout the whole meeting or at this point?
When
we've dealt with this item of apologies, then we take it that anybody who does not fall within this category at this point has not apologized. Am I reading it wrongly, Valerie? Please help me.
You're correct, Chair.
So I'm not hoping to get an apology right towards the end of the meeting, saying no, we've just received an apology when we are too close, eh?
Chair. Honorable Chair.
Who's calling me now?
I don't know where to raise my hands. My name is Mzimkulu Chwala. From the Department of Transport. I'm doing civil aviation.
Yeah.
I carry the apologies of the DG and the DM.
Yeah, you must process them on time. Next time, what is happening to the DG and the DM, Mzimkulu?
They are involved in other unavoidable business.
Okay, the unavoidable business. So ours is avoidable. I get you. Next time we make ourselves also unavailable, but thank you. Honorable McDonald.
Chairperson, thank you. Sorry, I didn't want to interfere, Chairperson, but I agree with you, Chairperson, that these two apologies are not accepted, Chairperson, and we must be harsh and because it's become a trend of the department and the ministry not to attend our meeting, Chairperson, and I think it needs to be noted. Thank you, Chairperson.
Can we then move with those, that said, can we then move to the next item? I'm trying to be business-like today. As I've said, we do have a lot of work. Our first agenda on the item, or the first item on the agenda, is deliberations on the National Road Traffic Amendment Bill final consideration of updated list of amendments. I wouldn't say, okay, my learned advocate. Are you here, advocate?
Greetings, Chairperson, and the members. Myself is present to assist on the National Road Traffic Amendment Bill, Chair.
Okay, are you ready today? I can see you are ready and able and energetic. Let's allow you, Pumelele. I thought Advocate Almanel will introduce, but thank you very much. let's allow you then to, without any waste of time, to take us through.
Oh, I'm sorry for that interruption, Chairperson. Thank you so much for that. If I may ask the team to flight the aid that was sent to the members by Ms. Haricharan to Valerie. Chairperson, while they assist us doing that, and thank you for also pointing out that the committee agenda is bumper to bumper today. So, Chairperson, with your permission and the members as well, I would just like to indicate firstly where we are with this bill. And because the bill had already in its content on the proposed amendments been addressed and presented to the committee, and in our meeting before the last one, the content was actually adopted and approved by the members. So with the permission of the chairperson, I just want to indicate first that I believe we are in National Assembly Rule 286, subsection 4K, which reads as follows: the committee may recommend approval or rejection of the bill or present with its report an amended bill or a redraft of the bill, provided that in the case of a redraft, the subject of the bill has not been extended without the permission of the assembly as contemplated in paragraph B and C. Clearly, Chairperson, in our purposes, the committee has decided to do an amendment to the bill that was introduced, and that is why we have these proposed amendments. What had to be updated previously, Chairperson, was the part on the memorandum on the objects of the bill. Consequentially, because the content has already been cleared and adopted, as well as make sure that the arrangement of sections, which is the index of the bill, is corrected and up to date in line with the provisions, Chairperson. So that is the update that needed to happen, and that is the document that the committee has today, having dealt with that update and done the necessary consequential changes throughout all the clauses that were proposed for changes. We have done that correction, Chairperson, and I think, as I said, because the committee is very much backed up today with the things that it must attend to, I'm not sure if then I will need to go through each provision or just as pointed out, Chairperson, and the document has been plighted. All the changes that were done have been that were requested by the committee and deliberated have been effected. And what happens on the memorandum on the objects of the bill basically is a summary of each clause and indicating what was happening. So what we have done in this instance is to ensure that the clauses that had to be rejected and taken away have been taken out, and so that there will be no confusion when anyone looks at the process as to what happened to this bill and what was done by the Parliament as the legislature in the national level of government, Chairperson. So, Chairperson, that is basically what we have done. And as a team, we looked at this document and we ensured that all the changes and the cross-referencing is done. And what must happen now, should the members accept this document as the proposed amendments to the Bill B7 of 2020, we will then get permission from the committee management and ensure that the CREDA process is done and the quality checking of the two documents, the A list as agreed to and adopted by the committee, is then presented. And then the B version of the bill will also be presented and be the one under which, under the same rule of the National Assembly, Rules 289, is deliberated clause by clause. And therefore, Chairperson, with those few words, I am presenting the proposed and amended A list to the draft bill, B7 of 2020, and request that it be accepted. And as it appears, and then we can do the process that follows. And in our following meeting, then clause by clause on the B version of the bill will then be deliberated by members, Chairperson. With your guidance, I may then know whether I need to go through each clause or is sufficient that we've indicated as we have indicated. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mepumelele. The honorable members, the AGs, are we willing to accept or we want clause by clause? Honorable McDonald.
Honorable Chair.
Yes.
Who's the Chairperson? Thank you. Okay. I think it's sufficient the way that it's been explained to us, and we accept it like that, Chiefs.
I see a brown hand raised violently. Let me hear. Mhlekazi.
Good morning, Chairperson, and my apologies for joining the committee slightly later than the rest. It is great to see everybody. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I propose that we do accept. Therefore, I concur to my colleague's proposal, Honourable MacDonald. But it is rather important to distinguish the changes from what was carried over from the original document. And if we could then just get indications of those, it would be very helpful to understand the improvements. Thank you, Chairperson.
I am always appreciating your eloquence on issues and your usage of language. Believe you me, I am benefiting a lot by your presence in this meeting. Mepumele. Ms. Pumelele.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I will quickly go through the clauses, starting from the what we call the long title. The long title in the proposed A list, Chairperson, appears at the end of the proposal. The changes that were done there are the ones that relate to the alcohol content increase, which was taken out because the members pointed and deliberated that they would rather have the principal act as it stands in terms of the blood alcohol content. In clause one, Chairperson, just running through, which is the section on the definition, the body builder was corrected to align with what appears in the regulations as the members deliberated. Emergency services was also corrected on page 3, as well as the definition for infrastructure in line with the public submissions, Chairperson, that the members concentrated on as well as considered seriously. It was also amended. And also the definition for motor vehicle was still on page 4 of the introduced bill. It was corrected, Chairperson, as well as pedal cycling. And after the definition of pedal cycling, just before the definition for reserve traffic warden, the members and out of the deliberations by the public has requested that we also effect the definition for public road, and that definition has also been effected accordingly as it appears on the proposed list. And then furthermore, Chairperson, that was the end in respect of the definition. And then on clause 2, Chairperson, which is the provision that was dealing with the qualifications of the relevant officers, there, Chairperson, we've also effected just a few changes. Amongst them was the inclusion of the reserve traffic warden, which for some reason had not been part of these provisions in the respective principal act. And then we moved Chairperson to clause 3. Again, clause 3 was effecting the corrections in relation to the above points that I've just made about the reserve traffic wardens. And then it also clause 4 on page 6 in line 52 and 53, Chairperson, where in respect of clause 4, Chairperson, again, we are doing the same consequential changes that the other previous sections had received. And then we quickly move, Chairperson, to clause 5, and clause 5 was making changes to the minimum requirements for registration of the inspectors of licenses. And because we are also making changes in respect of the permits, the driving permits, as the issue of the international driving permits was raised by the members, that's why there's also this consequential change in respect of clause 5. And then we quickly move to clause 7, Chairperson. And the changes that are being effected in clause 7 relates to section 3I of the Principal Act. And this is where we had to add reference to the Criminal Procedure Act when dealing with impounded vehicles. And then, Chairperson, we move to clause 8. Clause 8 was merely correcting the title of the section that was being amended, which was clause 8, which was amending 3L as well. And then we move to clause 9. This is the one also, Chairperson, where members did ask that in order to address this issue, all traffic laws that are applicable must be kept in mind. And that is the change, the proposed change that is being effected there. And then after clause 10, Chairperson, the change is quickly on to clause 14, where clause 14, Chairperson, is dealing with the appointment of inspectors for manufacturers, body builders, and all those that are mentioned there. And what happened there, Chairperson, in clause 13, that change would just relate to the definition as made on bodybuilders, whilst on clause 14, it's the misalignment that we picked up and the repetition that was happening between clause 14 and clause 15. So the clarity and amendment that we are doing there, Chairperson, is to reject clause 14 and do all the corrections under clause 5, under clause 15, I'm sorry. That is why it appears that clause 14, which deals with section 8, will be repealed from the Principal Act, and clause 15 then will capture what was in section 8 of the Principal Act. And then, Chairperson, moving without wasting too much time, it was straight to clause 17, and clause 17 was those issues of juristic person and person or body. It's that consequential change that is done there. And same thing with clause 18, Chairperson. Excuse me. Clause 18, we are removing what is redundant so that the Principal Act can read better in terms of using those juristic persons and individual persons as we legally understand it. And then clause 19, 20, and 21 are those that the committee, after deliberations, felt that the changes are not necessary. And therefore, the effect of rejecting such clauses is that the existing principal sections of the Act will remain as they are. So clause 19, 20, and 21 will be coming out. And then clause 22, Chairperson sought to insert a new provision, which was also clause 15A, dealing with how licenses must be returned. Also that one, the committee felt we should get rid of it, and that is what will happen. So the Principal Act will not have a 15A, but when the amendment passes through, it will just remain as it stands at section 15 without having section 15A. Then we move to clause 24, which had another amendment pertaining to the use of person, and as we legally understand the definition, so that one is also going to be corrected. And then the big one, Chairperson, was that one on clause 28. And clause 28 is the one which is amending section 23, the one that deals with the international permits, the permits in this country, and what the members had deliberated, that at least there should be some ways in which all the permits are ensured, even if it's an international permit and approved and supported in line with the existing conventions, but that it should also give a chance the authorities within the territory to ensure that all the compliance with the laws of the country as they are is exactly in that regard. And that is what the new proposed clause 28 will deal with, so that it amends section 23 of the Act. And then, Chairperson, the next change is effected in clause 37. And clause 37 also, Chairperson, was the issue related licensing issues and the driver's permits. And what we are effecting there, Chairperson, is to ensure that if on the issues that were raised about employing persons maybe outside, who are coming from outside of the country and not having the documents, instead of making a huge task upon them, which the initial ways of the bill were indicating as if in some instance they would have to ensure that these people have the relevant documents and driving permits at their expense. And the members pointed out that we should rather do the correction in terms of the wording that is preferred. And that is exactly what proposed clause 37 is doing. And then in respect of clause 38, Chairperson, it's also a consequential change that is happening there with the additions that were taking place in respect of correcting what must happen in relation to driving permits. Clause 41, Chairperson, is the one that deals with the delegation. And just to make sure that everything was clear in terms of extending the delegation powers, is to ensure that it remains with the official or the functionary that must deal with the sub-delegated power of regulations or any other thing, but the regulations must be made by the minister or the MEC and not necessarily any function. So that's the effective correction that we are bringing as clarity in respect of clause 1. In respect of clause 46, moving forward, Chairperson, it's the one that is rejected, and it is the provision that was dealing with the blood alcohol content, so it's coming out in its entirety. And the same as clause 47, clause 47 is also coming out. There will be no changes that are effected there. And then we move to clause 49. It was also a consequential correction just to make sure that the language of the statute is clear on when we talk about laws of any province, which are normally called ordinances. We are correcting that because this is a matter of a Section 76 subject competent functionality. Therefore, we're inserting that it must be prescribed requirements, which may come from any part of government, be it provincially or from national level, when regulatory framework is done in line with the Act. And then, Chairperson, the next change is effected on clause 50, where we were asked by the members to make sure that the may turns into must, so that it is compulsory to do what is required there. When dealing with the applications in respect of this kind of vehicles that are addressed in Section 81 of the Principal Act. And then, Chairperson, it was the amendment for the, as I said, the arrangement of sections, because there are those that are coming out, and the initial introduced bill had impacted on the arrangement of sections for the Principal Act. So in order to ensure that technically that confusion does not translate into the Act, we've done the corrections as well in light of the arrangement of sections. And the last part, which I've already spoken to, Chairperson, is the long title, but in line with the drafting conventions, we are required to put it at the end. We've therefore corrected the long title at the end as such. And then it's the last part on the memorandum of the objects of the bill, which, as I said, is the summary of each and every clause, just to ensure that people follow on the process, that the legislative processing of this bill followed whenever they want to have an understanding on the background and everything about the bill. And that is all, Chairperson, and I thank Advocate for assisting me in respect of lighting and rushing through as I was also running through the amendments. I hope, Chairperson, that answers and fulfills the request as made by the members to quickly make sure what are the changes and what it dealt with. I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Mepumelele.
Thank you, Chairperson. It was most helpful. Chairperson, can I ask that we just look at the definition of motor vehicle, if that is defined separately, motor vehicle, please?
Okay, yes. We are searching for motor vehicle. We will come across it now. Honorable Onsinga.
Chairperson, I would like to point out at the formal definition, which is listed as N sub 2, where it is indicated that it is a vehicle with a mass not exceeding 230 kilograms, and that this in effect would exclude trucks, whereas the reference in clause 37 is particular to a person not being allowed to drive a motor vehicle in a condition of being unlicensed. So I'm just pointing out the alignment of those two issues. Thank you, Chair.
Otherwise, we are happy with the rest.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. We could look at this when we really go through it clause by clause. So
if we could just
make a note and let it stand out. Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to Mam Pulala. It was most helpful. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Mepumelele, you had already sent those who helped you. We will then wait for a clause to clause with the highlighting of the motor vehicle. Babu Umondise, Honorable Ketamabala.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Chair, I was see if we can go to clause 7.
Okay. Yes. Let's do so. If there's anybody who wants to raise a hand, let me see those hands so that we don't go back and forth. Okay. So this is the last hand. Clause 7, we are there, Mondise.
Yes, Honorable Chairperson. I was checking under Wardens. Where is Wardens?
Warden.
Mm.
On page number 4, just below, just above clause 7.
Yes.
On page 7 in line with 12 after warden instead or NATIS officer.
That's under clause 6, Chairperson, not 7.
Yeah, yeah, it's just above clause 7, it's clause 6, you are right. So what were you checking, Babu Keta?
I was checking the Chairperson if they are talking about the reserve traffic warden. Because my concern there is that we have a lot of reserve traffic wardens, especially in different municipalities. These are going to be controlled nationally or is going to be centralized as it's supposed to be, or either it's going to be in the provinces and municipalities.
Can we quickly help the honorable member? Although we are just highlighting today the changes that we said must be inserted, honorable Ketamabala, the reason why we highlighted all the changes is that we wanted members to ascertain whether what we said should be changed has actually been changed. But because you have already raised this issue, Mayor Pumelela, are you in a position to respond?
With your permission, Chairperson, can I ask that Advocate Makgatho quickly answers that one, because he will better explain for the members in line with practically what's happening. Thank you, Chairperson, if that's okay.
That is okay. I hear what you are saying, ma'am. I'm sure members are also hearing what you are saying. Advocate, quickly, can you assist in terms of explanation?
Yes, Chairperson. Good morning to everyone and other colleagues on the platform. Appointment of officers, Chairperson, is covered under Section 3, Capital A of the National Road Traffic Act. The appointment of traffic wardens, we are simply putting it out there, and then municipalities, if there is a need for services of such, or the MECs as the case may be, they will be able to make those kind of appointments, Chairperson. It's as simple as that. This is in line with that transitional provision clause that we've always been making reference to. Thank you, sir.
Mondi, sir.
I'm covered, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We're now moving away from this. My understanding is that Honorable McDonald had moved that we accept this, and Honorable Hunsinger seconded, but also said, let's, before we do that, let's just deal with the changes that we have done for record purposes. Is that my understanding, honorable members, for record purposes? Thank you very much. I see, okay. Somebody is violently saying that should be repeated. Valerie. Yes, Valerie.
See, my hand was definitely not up.
I saw something. Have you seen hands from members saying they agree with me? And from Honorable Lunsinga, and that was seconded by Honorable Ketamaba. Thank you very much. Thank you, Valerie. I just want us to make sure that we do the right things this morning. How long is this process taking to come back, Valerie?
Chair, the next step will now be for us to request proofs of the A and the B version of the bill from CREDA and to bring it to the committee. Chair, the next step will be then the clause by clause deliberations and adoption of the report on this bill if there are not any other issues that comes up during the clause by clause deliberations. But the proofs, we will do our best share to get the proofs ready and circulate it to members after it has been checked by all the legal advisors and get it to members hopefully by Friday afternoon.
Valerie, that settles this item. Item number two, deliberations on the economic regulation of transport bill. Feedback on matters of the 22nd of March 2022 and presentation on the updated list of amendments. Can we get the legal mind that is leading us on this one?
Good morning, Chairperson. This is Piloshni Gangan, the Parliamentary Legal Advisor. Chairperson, I firstly just need to apologize. I'm joining your meeting via my cell phone because I'm in another committee meeting on my laptop. So it's not allowing me to access my video. So my apologies for that. Chairperson, I just want to greet all the members and to thank the members for the patience regarding the last meeting that we had. Chairperson, you will recall that the state law advisor was ill, and we then postponed for the finalization of the A list. So what had happened in the interim is that I had finalized an A list and I had sent it to the department and to the state law advisor. Unfortunately, the state law advisor was still ill. But she has now managed with the department and myself to finalize the A list in accordance with the committee's instructions as per the last meeting. So Ms. Haricharan is present this morning and she will take the committee through the amended A list as agreed to between the department, myself and the State Law Advisor's office. Thank you, Chairperson.
Kanjin, thank you very much. Can we welcome Ma'am Haricharan?
Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning to the members. Yes, Chairperson, just to echo what's been said by the Parliamentary Law Advisor, subsequent to the bill being published again for public comments, due to the inclusion of the new clause 4 and other clauses, subsequent to the republishing of the bill, we addressed the further issues of the members in the updated A list. As mentioned by the Parliamentary Law Advisor, we've worked as a team with the Parliamentary Law Advisor and the department to capture the further members in the updated A list. Chairperson, Chairperson, if I may please get some directions from the Chairperson and the members. Would it please the committee to go through the whole A list again, or would the members prefer to discuss the further amendments and updates to the A list? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Haricharan, members, let's hear your say on this one. We are pleased you are back, Mayor Haricharan.
Thank you, Chairperson. to apologize. I was very unwell, but I'm glad to be back. Thank you, Chairperson.
It's okay. Do we want to follow the process as initiated by maybe so that we cut short? Would you be so kind, Mayor Haricharan? To quickly highlight those matters that are updated.
Yes, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson. I will do that. Thank you. If we can, thank you as well to Advocate now for flagging the updated agendas, members. If we refer to the updated agendas document and clause 1, point number 5. Point number 5, it provides for the inclusion of the definition of president on page 7 after line 22 to insert the definition. To insert the following definition, president means the president of South Africa, president of the Republic of South Africa. And thereafter, the following change that was further included into the updated A list is to clause 4 on page 2 of the updated A list. Clause 4 to the updated A list, to include the in the clause 11.1, to include the word any other, as was agreed to by the members during the previous deliberations. So clause, if I may read clause 1, the updated amended clause 11.1 will now read, the minister may, in consultation with the regulator, from time to time, by notice in the Gazette, declare that any other regulators in no particular order are consolidated into the regulator. Subsection paragraph A, including the following regulators but not limited to 1, cross-border road transport agency, 2, national public transport regulator, 3, air service licensing council, 4, international air services council, and 5, any other regulator. Paragraph B, if the minister has determined that one or more of the regulators referred to in subsection 1 has been incorporated, the department must produce a report from conducting a review of their performance and capabilities, including the initiation of the legislative reform required to facilitate the incorporation of these regulators within 3 years from the effective date and from time to time thereafter. In 11.2, the requested changes have also been included there, as suggested by Western Cape Government, and was agreed to by the department and the members during previous deliberation. Previous deliberations are just swapped. Subsection 2B and C to swap the order of those clauses around. So clause 11.2 will now read, before the minister may consider making a determination contemplated in subsection 1, the department in the prescribed manner and form must publish the relevant report contemplated in 11.1B in the Gazette within the prescribed period. Paragraph B, may conduct public hearings on the matter in appropriate circumstances, and paragraph C, must publish in the Gazette a notice that such a determination is being considered and invite public submissions in response to the notice. Those were what is suggested for clause 4, Chairperson. If we may move to page 4 of the updated A list and clause 10. The new suggested clause for inclusion was to omit section 10 and to substitute following section 10. If I may read from the updated data, clause 10 would now read, an entity has been granted access approval in terms of section 9.1.4.2, may cede or transfer any or all of its access rights to the third party in conditions that, paragraph A, the entity must first notify the infrastructure owner and regulator of its intention to cede or transfer access rights. Paragraph B, the entity ensures that all obligations remain fulfilled. And paragraph C, third parties may not cede or transfer such access rights to any operator. That was clause 10. If we move to clause 11 on the same page 4, the changes as point 1, under point 1 of clause 11. On page 12, from line 34 to omit paragraph B and to substitute the following paragraph, paragraph B would now read, to set service standards and a price rebate mechanism if such service standards are not met in respect of any activity that is subject to the price control, semicolon, or full stop. Those are the proposed changes to clause 11. Move forward to your question. Over the page to page 5 of the updated A list. Clause 42. The following change was made to clause 42 to provide for the requirements regarding research request to the regulator. On page 24, after line 26, insert the following section. Insert the following subsection. Subsection 3, any request for research made to the regulator must be considered on the merits of its reasonableness and benefits to industry, after which funding arrangements will be made by the regulator and other interested parties as may be necessary. So that has now been updated and included into clause 42, Chairperson. Moving forward, Chairperson. We refer the members to page 8 of the updated A list, clause 56. Yes, clause 56. This was the clause in the bill dealing with subpoenas, Chairperson. And clause 56 has now been amended and updated in the A list to read point 1. On page 30 in 926, insert a new subsection 1 as follows. The proposed amendment is to allow for the request for people to be allowed to agree to voluntary inspection if the circumstances arise. This was the purpose of this amendment. Under clause 56.1. So point 1 now reads on page 30 in clause 56.1, on page 30 in 926, to insert a new subsection 1 as follows. Subsection 1, at any time during an investigation but prior to the issuing of a subpoena, contemplated in subsection 2, an inspector or investigator must afford the person being investigated an opportunity to participate in a voluntary inspection. Flowing from that, subsequent numbering will change in that section as well. But I didn't see them with a change back automatically. Chairperson, that was changes to clause 56. If I'm going to refer the committee to the following change on page 11 of the A list. This is the changes on schedule 1. Yes, this is under schedule 1 of the bill, point 20. This was the consequential amendment to the Airport Company Act. And point 20, the change to the subsequent change to the Airport, consequential change to the Airport Company Act. Point 20 on page 38 in 920 to substitute the word to substitute minister with regulator, with regulator in underlying. Then after Chairperson, if you may refer the committee to page 14 of the updated A list.
point number 31. This is also changed under the schedule 1. Bill Chairperson, on page 39 of the bill, this proposed amendment is to allow for the inclusion and reference to the Municipal Fiscal Powers Act, Powers and Functions Act, as was previously deliberated upon and suggested. So point 31 in schedule 1, on page 30, the amendment would read point 31. On page 39, after line 27, to insert the following item, subsection 2, section 21 of the National Land Transport Act 2009, Act number 5 of 2009, hereby amended by the substitution in subsection 1 for the words preceding paragraph A of the following words, in inverted commas, subsection 1, subject to the provisions of Municipal Fiscal Powers and Functions Act, 2007, Act number 12 of 2007, other relevant legislation and subject to any price control determined by the Transport Economic Regulator, established by Section 29 of the Economic Regulation of Transport Act 2022, a municipality which has established a municipal land transport fund in terms of Section 27 of the National Land Transport Act 2009, Act number 5 of 2009, may impose user charges which may differ from case to case, comma, on long dash, closing verse comments. So that is the proposed amendment in schedule 1, Chairperson. And Chairperson, that would include the proposed changes from the previous meeting subsequent to the second application of the board for further public comments. Thank you, Chairperson.
Are you done, ma'am?
Yes, Chairperson, I am. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I was looking at the screen rolling, so I thought, members, let me come back to you. To have you say you want to adopt the changes, so that we can move to the next. Honorable McDonald.
Thank you, Jay. I move for the adoption of the changes as submitted, and so the bill can continue, Chairperson. Thank you.
Any seconder? Honorable Peter May. Thank you very much. Honorable Ketamabala.
I second it, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much. That settles this then. Thank you very much, the members. Can we then move to item number 3? Item number 3 is also feedback from the Parliamentary Legal Advisor on the draft list of amendments to the National Land Transport Amendment Bill on the matters pertaining to the President's reservations on the bill. Parliamentary Legal Advisor, I guess is the one we were talking to earlier this morning.
Good morning, Chair. My name is Noluthando Mphikashe from Parliamentary Legal Services. I will be taking the members through the proposed list. If you can allow me to...
How are you, Noluthando?
I am fine, Chairperson. Thank you. And how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. That's what I was asking. Thank you very much. You can continue.
Thank you, Chair. I will just share my screen, which will show the presentation that I will be taking the members through. Chair, the e-list was shared by Valerie with the members. This is the presentation just to give context to what is being said in the e-list. I will first, just as a background, Chair, to remind members that the bill, as you have correctly stated, Chair, was referred back to Parliament by the President in terms of Section 79 of the Constitution. The President raised reservations on Clause 7 of the bill. Clause 7 amends Section 11 of the Act, and the amendment seeks to provide that municipalities may enter into new contracts for public transport services only where they meet a certain criteria that will be prescribed by the minister. The provisions have also been inserted to empower provinces to intervene if necessary, enter into contracts themselves where municipalities do not comply with the prescribed requirements or the criteria. The President has a reservation that Clause 7A appears to confer on national government a power to conclude wide range of contracts concerned irrespective of whether the contracts are national or provincial in scope or merely local in scope. The President then said that this appears to be in conflict with the principle that national and provincial governments are not generally permitted by legislation to assume the local government functions for themselves. The President also raised a reservation on Clause 7B, and he stated that the clause appears to allow provinces to conclude relevant public transport contracts with operators, which appears to be again in conflict with the principle that national and provincial governments are not permitted to assume local government functions for themselves. Also, the President raised a reservation in terms of 7H and M, and the reservation is related to that.
Honourable Chair, Bangete.
Yes, sir.
Sorry for the interruption. The presentation is not moving.
The presentation is moving verbally, but is not moving on the screen.
Oh, apologies for that, Chair. I don't know what could be the problem. Is it moving now, Shay?
It's still standing there.
Is it still on the first page?
National Land Transport Amendment Bill e-list, that's where it is.
Sure. I don't know what could be the problem, Chair. Maybe Valerie could assist? Because from my side, it is moving.
Now, you see that that has made it to make my honorable members happy because it is now moving. Continue.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Apologies for that. As I was saying, Chair, the President has also raised a reservation on Clause 7H and M, and the reservation is mostly related to the fact that the powers that are granted in 7H and M are made subject to the new Section 11.6, which deletes a provision that would allow for the functions to be assigned by the minister and instead vest the contracting authority automatically in the province. The President has reservations that this is inconsistent with the Constitution and the principle that, again, national and provincial governments are not permitted to assume local government functions for themselves. Clause 7I is part of the package of amendments that the bill makes provisions to the division of responsibilities between national, provincial, and local government. Then the president also had a reservation in terms of 7J, 7K and L. And he said that it is not clear whether the intent and effect of clauses 7J to L of the bill is to preclude the assignment powers contemplated in section 156(4) of the Constitution. Now, the proposed list is to deal with those reservations. The committee would remember that the department came and presented after I had presented an opinion and asked the committee to ask the department on how they would deal with these reservations. The department came with a proposed list with which we have checked with the state law advisor, and we are in agreement that the list actually addresses the concerns that were raised by the president. So if you see on the e-list, number one, it says that on page 5 from line 35, we are to omit paragraphs A and B, and that is the reservation that was raised by the president with regards to 7A and 7B. The Act currently doesn't give powers to the national government and the provincial government to conclude any subsidized services contracts or negotiated contracts that are contemplated in section 41 of the Act. So we are proposing that those amendments be omitted, so meaning that they would be removed from the proposed bill. Then the second line on the e-list, it says that on page 6 from line 1, we are to renumber paragraph C to H to be A to F. That is just an editorial amendment since we have deleted those two paragraphs. And then on page 6 from line 33 to omit subparagraph 20, Roman figure 26, and to substitute the following paragraph. So now concluding subsidized, the municipality has the power to conclude subsidized service contracts, commercial services contracts, negotiated contracts and stopgap contracts contemplated in section 41A with operators for services within their areas of jurisdiction subject to section 9. The effect of that is that in the bill that was proposed, there was a proviso which provided that the municipal sphere of government would only enter into contracts if the municipality meets the requirements and criteria prescribed by the minister under subsection 10D. And the minister has certified in writing that it has complied. So since the president has raised reservations along the lines of the municipality, provincial and national government to enter into contracts and also for municipality to meet a certain criteria before they could enter into the contracts. So that proviso will now be deleted. It will not be part of the amendments anymore. And then on page 6, from line 41, to omit paragraphs I and J. Those are paragraphs R and J that are on the screen. They also related to the fact that the municipality, if they could enter into these contracts or if they should enter into contracts, they must apply to the minister for exemption if they feel that they meet the criteria that the minister will prescribe. But since we are removing that provision altogether, hence now we are proposing this amendment. So this will also be omitted from the bill. And then on page 7 from line 1, we are proposing that paragraphs K to M be omitted. Paragraph K to M proposed a deletion of section 11.3 and 11.5, which empowers the MEC to assign functions contemplated in subsection 1B. Of the Act to a municipality subject to the Constitution and the Municipal Systems Act. Those two provisions will remain in the Act. They will not be removed. And then the amendment to paragraph M, which we are also proposing that it be, it stays like it is in the Act. So the deletion won't take place anymore. So the parts that are in square and in bolded will remain in the Act. So the effect of that is that the Act will remain the same. This is also a constitutional amendment to the new proposed provisions in relation to municipalities meeting the set criteria. So the provision will remain the same in the Act. On page 7, from line 1, we are to omit paragraph K2M. And this is also to omit the proviso that reads that provided that the municipality complies with the criteria and requirements prescribed by the minister under subsection 10D. So that proviso will be deleted and it won't be part of the proposed bill. On page 7, from line 30, to omit paragraph B, the paragraph that would be omitted provides that the deleted proviso does not apply to municipalities anymore. So there is no need for that amendment since we are removing that requirement. The next one is on page 7 from line 52 to omit end and to substitute a full stop. That is also an editorial amendment since the next paragraph will be deleted. On page 7 from line 53 to omit paragraph D. Paragraph D empowers the minister to prescribe the requirements and criteria which municipalities must comply with in order to conclude the contracts stipulated in section 11.1, see Roman numeral 26. The provision in relation to the contracts and the municipalities is being removed from the bill, thus the paragraph will be deleted. That is the end of the presentation, Chair. Thank you very much.
Meno Luthando Mbikashe, am I remembering your names? Oh, there you are.
Yes, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, here we are. Are we ready to? Okay, there we are. Honorable Hunsina.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, the central question in this presentation from our side would be a simple one, and that is whether the changes that's just been presented to us, whether this would now make this constitutionally sound. So if we could just get some indication of that and maybe some more explanation around this, I think it would be suffice. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Hunsinger. Ma'am, Unoltan.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, Chair, the amendments that are proposed in the A list will ensure that the bill is constitutionally sound and it addresses all the concerns that were raised by the President. Remember, the biggest issue that the President had was the fact that the provinces and national government would now have powers to enter into contracts that are reserved only, that which power is only reserved for municipalities, without invoking the provisions of Section 100 and Section 139 of the Constitution. So we've ensured that those provisions are now removed. So municipalities will remain the relevant authority to enter into contracts. And if provinces feel that the municipalities are not entering into contracts or they're not fulfilling their obligations, they would have to use Section 139 of the Constitution to take over the administration of that municipality. And so the municipalities won't have, there won't be any prescribed requirement by the minister. The municipalities won't have to apply for any exemptions. So things will stay the same in that regard. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Menol Tando. Mhlekazi. I see your hand still up.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. I think the reply was sufficient, Chairperson. I would therefore propose that we move forward.
Thank you very much. There is a proposal. Any seconder? Madam Madwa.
Thank you, Chairperson. Allow me to switch off my video. I raise my hand to support or to second what Honorable Musinga has proposed. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Let's now move to item number 4, consideration and adoption of report on the protocols relating to the amendment to Article 50, subsection A and 56 of the Convention on the International Civil Aviation tables in terms of section 231, subsection 2 of the Constitution of 1996. Can we have that? There we are. A report of the Portfolio Committee on Transport on the protocols relating to the amendments to Articles 50, subsection A and 56 of the Convention on International Civil Aviation of 7 December 1944. In brackets, we have 1994, dated 31 May 2022, the Portfolio Committee on Transport having considered the request for approval by Parliament of the protocols relating to the amendment to Articles 50, A and 56 of the Convention of International Civil Aviation, 7 December 1954, referred to it, recommends that the House, in terms of Section 231, Subsection 2 of the Constitution of 1996, approve the said convention. Honorable members, we have dealt with this matter earlier on, not today, and what was left was for us to adopt this report. Anyone who moves for the adoption? Let's see hands. The report is in front of us.
Chairperson, my hand is raised, but it doesn't seem to
I can see it now, Honorable MacDonald.
Chairperson, I propose the adoption of the report and that we can continue with that. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Any second?
I second, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. The report is adopted. Can we then, thank you very much. Item number 5. It will be the consideration of the draft report on the petition. I see somebody here's face. From residents of Ukahlamba local municipality, KwaZulu-Natal province, calling on the assembly to investigate the state of roads in their communities. Finalization of recommendations. Right. Here is the report. Can we be quickly taken through that report?
Morning, Chairperson. Morning, members. Members will see the report was circulated. The one thing I just want to show members, the petition was sent to us with this spelling, but we do recognize that it can either be a O or a U. Both are used and accepted, but we, for purposes of the report, we are just using the spelling that was in the petition as it was tabled. So we just indicate the time period on when we did the oversight, as well as when we received the initial presentation from the petitioners, just an introduction. Background of the petition, based on who they indicated supported the petition, and the highlights out of the petition, the concerns regarding the roads, and the request from the petitioners. Then there's just a little bit of background regarding the municipality, the consideration of the petition, to show that this was the first meeting we had with the petitioners that did presentations, and that they gave overview on the following roads, even though we did note that they did give a list of roads, but it was not confined only to those roads. They also indicated the economic impact of the road infrastructure and the intervention requested from the committee. Then we indicate the oversight that the committee did in April, towards the end of April. And then we indicate the status quo update based on the input that the committee received from the KwaZulu-Natal Department of Transport regarding these roads. So it just indicates the conditions of the roads, the period to which their work is estimated, and how far they are with addressing these concerns. So members will recall this is from those those presentation notes that we received there from the department. So I'm just going through this quickly because that was read by members during the engagements. Also indicating the budget that they provided from the department side to address some of these concerns in the area. And then we get to the committee observations. Members will see these were notes that I took and the support staff took while we were on site. And we hope that we captured all the concerns of members. So specifically to start with the R74, en route to the first petition site, members stopped at a fall-away section of the road on the R74 in the Free State Province side of the road, next to the Sterkfontein Dam Nature Reserve on the side of the road going north, or the dam side. This is a two-lane road, which is effectively reduced to a single lane at this point. The yellow barriers in place are very close to the fall-away portion, and there is a 10-meter crack heading north past the one barrier, which indicates that the road is deteriorating further and could fall away even more. The safety and warning signs to alert to this are inadequate. There were also a number of potholes along the R74 going from the Free State to the KZN portion of the road. Further along the R74, just past the turn off for Little Switzerland, was the first stop along the petition road inspections. Members saw a 20 to 30 meter section of road sinking in an almost triangle shape. The only warning signs or traffic calming measures are speed bumps 5 meters before the road slippage on either side. The road appears to be slipping downhill, and this may be due to poor construction as well as tectonic plates and sedimentary basin movement of the earth underneath the road. There appears to be earth cracking and movement downhill towards the nature reserve. The stormwater drainage on the hillside is overgrown with grass. Heavy trucks have been barred from using the road with the use of road signage at the Bergville side. However, there is no law enforcement to enforce this. From the community members, the committee was informed that the road was constructed in 2011 and that the current road damage already started and was reported in 2019-2020. There is no stormwater pipe running underneath the road to direct water away from the road. The storm drainage in place appears to be insufficient for the slope of the hill next to the road. On the face of it, it appears that the road construction layers or components of the road structure may not be adequate for the vehicle loads using the road. This road is used by tourism industry farmers, both grain and a piggery that's nearby, local communities, and as an alternative to the N3 toll route. But the ban on heavy trucks means that farmers must use the roads via Bergville and the R616 to reach the N3, which is quite a long detour to reach Gauteng. further along the R74, just past the turn off to Berghaus and Cottages, there's a massive fallaway or sinkhole on the left side of the road heading to Bergville. There was a stop-go system in place with no shelter or bathroom facilities for the two officials placed there to manage the traffic flow. The concrete barriers near the hole were allegedly only placed at the site in March 2022. There's no storm drainage infrastructure next to the road visible. However, further down there's infrastructure, but it has been overgrown with grass. The storm water pipe running underneath the road to allow for the natural water movement from the waterfall near the road down into the valley was clearly not of a suitable material to handle the volume of water. This caused the pipe to split and water pooling under the road, thereby causing erosion of the ground under the road leading to the fall away. Looking at the natural hills near the road, one can see that the area is prone to erosion and greater care should have been taken in the construction of this road and water drainage. On the face of it, it appears that the road construction layers or components of the road structure may not be adequate for the vehicle loads using the road. This road is used by tourism industry, farmers, local communities, and as an alternative to the N3 toll route, but the ban on heavy trucks means that the farmers must use roads via Bergville and the R616 to reach the N3, which is quite a long detour to reach Gauteng. There's also a further crack in the road for 5 meters from the fall away past the one concrete barricade, and this indicates that the road may fall away further. This road damage also allegedly started three years ago. Has been reported but not repaired. In the 2015 Google Street View images of the section of road, you can see pothole patching in progress. I just added that as a side note for members. Then regarding the road from Kwaima to Bonjeneni, the road from Kwaima to Bonjeneni is very poor and full of potholes. There are roadside cracks and temporary dugout storm drainage. The road before Bojaneni Primary School shows some cutaway work to repair potholes, but due to the poor state of the road and further damage, the cars practically drive on a gravel road. There's a contractor on site under a 4 million rand PRMG contract to only focus on storm drainage. That was further information from the officials that were on site there with members. Then for the R304 or the bridge crossing the Tugela River, on the R304 at the bridge crossing the Tugela River on your way to Rugged Glen Nature Reserve, there's another fall-away portion of the road due to the bridge retaining wall falling away. This makes the bridge inaccessible for vehicles and prone to further water damage until it is repaired. This damage is alleged to have occurred following the February 2022 floods in the region. There are railings missing from the bridge and the road surface has signs of past pothole repairs. The road is closed with a warning sign erected by the Royal Natal Management. Vehicles wanting to access the reserve must use Salalanati Road. Sorry for that, members. My tongue is tied this early in the morning. The road from Mazizini to Zwelisha. On the road to and from Mazizini to Zwelisha, the entire road is extremely poor with potholes and strips of road degraded. During a meeting with community members of Mazizini Ward 9, members described how the degradation of roads prevent tourists visiting, leads to job losses, and lead to them unable to support communities. Roads are poorly constructed and never repaired. The roads have been poor since 1990, and communities struggle to get access to the clinic services. In some cases, ambulance services refuse to use the roads. The community questioned how much funds were budgeted for road repairs, as they do not see any road repairs in the area. Then the R600 from Winterton to Kaylee Mountain Resort. The R600 from Winterton to Kaylee Mountain Resort is also in a poor condition. This includes the D277 to the D184, which are full of potholes and strips of pushed up tar. Sections of the road have seemingly turned back into gravel roads, and the delegation had to drive on the side of the road. It must be noted that these roads, the D277 and D184, were not listed specifically in the petition. During interactions with community members, farmers, and resort management, the committee was briefed that there are 100 staff members and 300 possible persons in occupancy at the resort affected by the poor road conditions. The meeting was attended by staff, community members, farmers, and resort management that use these roads daily. It is difficult to get to hospital or clinic services and burial sites via these roads. Ambulances cannot respond to emergencies due to the poor road conditions. Travel at night is very dangerous for guests and staff. Major farming area and cannot get deliveries to or from the farm to deliver produce. 32-ton milk trucks are needed each day for the milk farmers in the area, and these trucks cannot use these roads safely. The municipality did not respond to complaints regarding the road. Then the D53 and D277 were dirt roads and were upgraded after residents gave cash to do sand sealing of many roads. The bridge gets cleared away after flooding with debris and the farmers must remove the logs themselves. With recent rains, the area was blocked for 3 days. The area is the second most visited destination inland, and the tourism is suffering. If guests hit potholes, they simply refuse to return. Then the non-attendance of the visit by the Okatlamba local municipality and the KwaZulu-Natal Department of Transport, members noted the non-attendance of the local municipality and senior officials of the KZN Department of Transport at the site visits, as well as community briefings. Then for committee recommendations, as indicated here, we need to finalize this with members today. We wanted to do this last week, but that was moved due to the mini plenaries. So once we get members' input, that then will be removed. So the proposed recommendations taken from some of the comments made by members during the oversight are as follows: that the department and the KwaZulu-Natal Department of Transport report to the committee monthly from the date of adoption of this report by the House on progress to fix the roads indicated in the petition. The department report to the committee when provincial roads are handed over to SANRAL, including but not limited to the date of the transfer, the length of road transferred, and when projects will start to repair the roads. The department and the KwaZulu-Natal Department of Transport supply the committee with information requested during engagements on when the listed roads were constructed, listing the name of the contractors that worked on the roads, the budget spent to construct and repair these roads during the past 10 years, and the estimated budget to repair these roads, and that the department and the KwaZulu-Natal Department of Transport report on all petitions and all complaints received from communities in the area on these roads for the past 5 years. So, Chairperson, that is the draft report on the oversight with specific focus on the petition for members for the input. Thank you, Chair.
Emazizini nasokhahlamba, Advocate. I would want you to say Kwakwa next time we engage on those areas. Members, are there any further recommendations before this report can be adopted? If they are, I see the first hand of Honorable Sithulo will be followed by Honorable McDonald. Are those the only two hands? Honorable Pete May, Honorable Keta Mabala. We now have four hands. And then Honorable Miriam Ramadwa, in that order, please.
Chairperson, thank you very much. And thank you very much to Advocate Nell for taking us through the report. So I want to make a general comment, and I suppose it will filter down. I don't know whether Advocate Nell would be able to construct it as a recommendation of some sort. But this goes back to, I think, something that is important for us to consider as a committee, and perhaps also include the department in as far as their role is concerned. Chair, it is a fact that provinces and municipalities receive grants from this department. And as such, the department has a responsibility to make sure that they get value for money for the grants that they give to provinces and municipalities respectively. The reality is this: one, there is a clear disconnect in as far as the relationship between municipalities, provinces, and the national department is concerned. And this is particularly clear in how the provincial department of KZN, as well as the municipality in question, clearly, deliberately, in my view, did not come to the engagements and the oversight by the portfolio committee on these roads that Advocate Nell has articulated. Because the reality is that they know and understand that given the amounts that they showed us, there was a clear disconnect between the amounts that were mentioned as highlighted by Advocate Nell on the presentation, as well as the outcome of how these roads are actually looking like. So we've got a budget that is here that's indicating that this budget is reinforced for this. But when you look at the condition of the roads and look at the budget, you can see there is a clear disconnect between the two. And I suspect this is the reason why these officials and these politicians didn't come to this oversight, because they knew that they were going to find it very difficult to respond to some of the questions that we have in as far as the budget is concerned, as well as far as the actual conditions of the roads are concerned. We need to be able to implore the department to be unapologetic in the manner in which they actually deal with provinces and municipalities who clearly receive grants but are unable to utilize those grants. I mean, a perfect example in the Northwest is that we saw that even the department here is not even budgeting enough for their road construction and maintenance, and are dependent on the provincial road maintenance grant dispensed by the department. And that is a matter of indicating and showing, Chair, that there is clear incompetence that is going on. The fact is highlighted here in as far as the people who constructed these roads. We want to know who those people are. We want to know how they were appointed to actually begin those constructions that have led to such poor state of road conditions in those in the oversights that we were involved in. Chair, we also need to be able to look at the actual impact that these road conditions have on not only jobs, not only tourism, but the sad reality of people having to carry their loved ones in a coffin because the hearse is unable to access. I mean, post 28 years into democracy, Chairperson, and we're still experiencing things like this. And the department is, in my view, is not taking action against these municipalities, against these provinces, who are clearly, Chairperson, are undermining the rights and the freedoms of South Africans. And the sooner this report is adopted by this committee, the sooner we can be able to hold this municipality and this province accountable for these injustices that we have seen as a portfolio committee during our oversight. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mukhaeso. Honorable McDonald.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, members. And thank you, Advocate Nell, for the thorough report on our oversight visit. Chairperson, I just wanted Chairperson, the problem is somebody's going to die on some of those roads. Specifically the road that's linking KwaZulu-Natal with the Free State. Chairperson, I did some calls yesterday, and the trucks are still using the road with that big hole in it. And they are driving huge trucks to succumb, to bypass the toll gates. And it's those trucks that are abusing and destroying our roads currently in South Africa. And these truck operators don't feel nothing, that they are destroying the livelihoods of other South Africans that are reliant on these roads, like the milk farmer that has to dump 30,000 liters of milk every day into the river, the tourist industry, our national parks, and it's just business as normal. We were told when we were there that they will put a traffic officer there to stop the from the KwaZulu-Natal side the trucks. I've been unable to get a hold of anybody on the Free State side to do the same. The trucks are still continuously moving from the KwaZulu-Natal side on that road, and it's just like, oh well, if somebody dies, somebody dies. And that nonchalant manner, Jefferson, is what got us in this mess that we are in at the moment. The roads are a mess. There's no other word for that. Then, Jefferson, I mean, when we were there, we were promised by those department officials that they would put up a toilet and a guard. They have not reported back if they have done that, and I'm unable to verify that they have actually done that, Jefferson, because they have a person standing there the whole day that has no facilities, no protection for the weather, and on top of that, it seems like there's a tendency that at 5 o'clock. It's Chila, and then the road users will have to be without the stop and go, and you're on your own, and if you die, you die, so what? Jefferson, when you send officials to a meeting, and you send only the technical officials and the KwaZulu-Natal transport officials decide not to come to the meeting, Jefferson, we must be harsh on behavior like that as a committee, Chairperson. And otherwise, Chairperson, I'm very happy with the rest of the report. And I think that as soon as possible, that we can adopt this report so that we can get these departments and municipalities and officials to report back to us. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable McDonald. Honorable Miriam Ramato.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, let me start by welcoming the report from Advocate, and also to indicate that we have done oversight in Okatlamba municipality, and we have observed, as my colleagues are indicating, I will recommend that we meet or with the department agently, because the issues that are being raised need agent attention. For example, like people are unable to arrest, are unable to go to arrest area because there is no road. People are unable to bury their loved ones properly because the car can't go to their places. So those issues need the urgent attention. So that's my proposal, that we need to meet the department agently concerning the issues that we have observed. Secondly, Chairperson, I don't know whether we are still going to discuss with other municipalities that we have done oversight on in Mpumalanga and Northwest. Thank you, Chairperson. That's my submission.
The Mpumalanga and the Northwest, Honorable Ramatwa and KwaZulu Natal oversight report is also going to be tabled immediately after this report. So you'll have an opportunity to add on the recommendations as we are doing with this one. Honorable Khetha Mabala, Umondis Othol, Genaba.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson Magai. Some members have covered what I was observing because, you see, when we were there, there were a lot of things that were actually make us unhappy because the condition of the roads are in terrible. And other things, the relationship between the municipalities, the district municipalities and the province, it seems that there is no relationship between them. So now, actually, if we adopt this report, we have to ask the department and you, Honorable Chairperson, to call to Parliament the provincial of KwaZulu-Natal and Okahlamba district, and Okahlamba municipalities and Uthukela district, so that they can actually come and account and explain what is actually happening, because people are in a disaster in that area. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson.
Mandisa ngikuzwile mfowethu. There are
Thank
two
you,
members. Yes, I was talking about you, and you'll be followed by Honorable Makosini.
Thank you, Chairperson. I agree 100% of the previous speakers, but I've said it in the past. I don't think the provincial governments are in a position to maintain or upgrade the roads, especially those provinces we have visited. I think it's time that Sandal must take over all the roads, provincial roads as well. And I can assure you, I tell all the people in the Eastern Cape, we can't complain about our roads after I've seen those provinces. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Akbare Liede Peter May. Go on.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Let me also appreciate the report. I want to emphasize the fact that the officials and politicians of Okahlamba have disrespected us as a committee. Therefore, my take would be that they must be called to Parliament and be cautioned, and the action be taken. Punishment must be meted to them with immediate effect after the adoption of this report. We have spoken to them and instructed them to stop the trucks from using these roads. They are great. The situation is very terrible there. Anything can happen. But the information that we got is that they are still using the road. There is no toilet that, like the latter speaker has alluded to, let alone the toilet papers for the use of workers, especially the ladies. They are helping themselves on the feet. They are the law unto themselves, according to what I have discovered. And they don't take us seriously. Therefore, consequence management must be the order of the day. I thank you, Chairperson.
Yeah, I go. thank you, Honorable Makosini. I think those were the recommendations, and some were comments. Advocate Almanel.
Yes, Chair, I will be able to work in those further recommendations for members. So if members are then happy with the proposed recommendations, ones that I've seen here predominantly is to add a recommendation that there must be a follow-up meeting with the department, the provincial department, and the municipality in question as soon as possible after the adoption of the report by the House. And then also that there has to be an improvement in the IGR relationship between the department, the province, and the municipality. And that as an observation, Chair, we can add there that we do need the relevant senior officials to attend our oversight and our meetings to avoid a similar situation. And then a recommendation that there's an urgent need to ensure that the law enforcement officers are placed on the R74 to prevent trucks using that road. Chair, I think that is the, and then the one from Mr. Sitlolo, the first one, that the department must be unapologetic in the manner in which they deal with grant recipients who clearly do not spend the grants in an adequate manner. So Chair, if I captured those ones correctly for members and the committee feels that so, we Chair can consider the adoption with proposed amendments.
Advocate, thank you very much. Honorable Lawrence McDonald.
Chairperson, I move for the adoption of those amendments. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Makosini Chabangu. It's not normal that he would second. I was just trying my luck.
Chairperson, Miriam Ramada.
Okay. Mayor Ramada.
I'm seconding the report. Thank you.
I was very...
Chairperson, you don't want me to second the report, eh?
Okay.
You jump to Ramada. That is the procedure that you are using, eh?
No, you were muted. Otherwise, I would be very happy to have.
I raised my hand before you,
thank you very much, honorable members. The enthusiasm of adopting this report energizes me. Let's go. Let's move then to the next report with the same vigor. The report of the portfolio committee's oversight to Mpumalanga. Mpumalanga, Northwest Province, and KwaZulu-Natal. We are going to have a report, and we will, after the report, come up with some recommendations if we feel that they are not sufficient. Advocate Almanel, over to you.
Thank you, Chair. So here is the draft report for members. I just changed the date. I will, in the other report, also make sure that today's date is in our heading to indicate when we adopted it. So just as an introduction, shows when the oversight took place from the 19th to the 23rd of April. The introduction on the focus areas, the first being the Moloto Rail Corridor Development Feedback Meeting, just to indicate when the committee last had a meeting and with the community and when there was feedback on the concerns from the department as well as Treasury. and then the implementation of public transport network and provincial road maintenance grants in the Northwest Province. That was from the 20th to 21st of April. So that just indicates or highlights the concern areas, and that the majority of the focus for this one was on the Rustenburg bus rapid transport. Then the third point there was that there was also oversight for the petition, but just an indication here that the observations and recommendations of the petition oversight is contained in the separate report to the House. So that's a report that we just did. So in terms of observations and recommendations in this oversight report, members will see we do not repeat the observations and recommendations there. There might be a general note just on the road conditions for KZN. Then on the implementation of the public transport network grant in Msunduzi, also just indicating what date we were there and what the committee's focus there was. It was in the main on the IPTN. Then we just indicate the delegation, as is normal for our oversight reports. Then the second chapter to this is the feedback meeting on the implementation of the Mlotha Rail Corridor development. That's our first stop. Just to indicate that the corridor was initiated in 2004. There was feasibility studies conducted in 2006 and 2007. And then in 2019, the department reported it had not transferred any funds to the Department of Transport of Gauteng, Limpopo and Mpumalanga. And the department also contended that by that time, it spent 17 million on feasibility studies on the Mlotha rail corridor. And of the 17 million, 10.2 was spent in 2013-14, while 7.7 was spent 2014-15. So that's almost 18 million. The feasibility study was conducted in October 2014. The committee met with the group calling itself the Mlotha Corridor Concerned Residents, MCCR, abbreviated through the document, in November 2020. This group requested an investigation into the alleged undue delay, complaining that several feasibility studies have been undertaken at a huge cost to taxpayers, yet no movement to date has been recorded on the project. They also alleged that government made numerous promises regarding the development and finalization of the project from as far back as 1996, and the committee resolved to meet with Treasury and the department regarding the complaints and report back to the community. However, due to changes in the parliamentary program, the feedback could only be scheduled this year in April. So that was over a year after the committee wanted to do the feedback. Then we indicate the input that the committee received during that meeting in 18 March 2021 from the Department and Treasury. So members will recall in that meeting, there was an indication on 3 December 2015, Treasury informed PRASA that the TA1 approval was not granted as the rail option was viewed as unaffordable, unlikely to yield social, economic and development dividends to warrant an investment of the scale and magnitude required. There was also a move to the China Communications and Instruction Company, MOU, but that was seemingly also not concluded. And then again, in June 2017, Treasury advised the department to submit motivation to the budget facility on infrastructure in support of the Mlotha Rail Corridor development project for the allocations in 2018-19. The department submitted this in August 2017. The funds applied for were for the establishment of a project management and implementation office for the project as a precursor to a TA1 approval. And then on 5 April 2018, the department was informed that the request for funding was not supported. And those were the reasons indicated there. Then during the feedback meeting, that was now during the oversight, just an indication that the delegation leader and members briefed the King prior to delivering the feedback to the community following the committee engagement on the subject in 2011. The King voiced his disappointment. There was a request that the delegation write to the House Chair and the Ministers of Transport and Finance on the failure of the officials to respond in writing to the invitations to join and present at the feedback session, as Treasury officials were not present and the Department of Transport indicated they would not be responding to the community at the briefing session. The leader of the delegation delivered the feedback to the community following the presentations in 2021. And the delegation leader indicated that the feedback is based on the responses from the departments, as well as responses given to the committee in their 2021 BRRR recommendations. The replies indicated that funding will be directed to the road corridor, as the rail corridor is not a feasible option at this point. The delegation leader further apologized for the delay in replying to the community, as it was already due a year ago, and indicated that the committee would continue to press the request for rail corridor in its engagements with the Department and Treasury and the relevant entities such as PROFA and SANRAL. The community members expressed their disappointment at the outcome of the discussions, as the area was in need of alternative public transport options. They also expressed concern about the PUTCO bus contract that was in place since pre-democracy and renewed or extended since 1997, and the committee undertook to provide feedback to the MCCR within 30 days on the PUTCO matter. Then there was the visit to the Rustenburg local municipality. Road inspections near Rustenburg. The first section of road inspections was on the drive from the Mulatto Road to Rustenburg. The Northwest Road R511 from the N4 to Hartbeerspoort has a significant number of potholes and the road signage is faded and barely visible during the day. The Northwest Rustenburg-Kroondal Road, just off the R104 to Modderfontein at the Mooinooi turnoff, is full of potholes. The R104 from Mooinooi has several potholes and several warning signs for potholes. There were a number of farm or mine workers using bicycles along the route with no cycle lane or big enough portion of an emergency lane to safely ride in. There's no roadside lighting, no reflective vests or helmets. This is a crucial road connecting Pretoria to Rustenburg for mining, agriculture and hospitality industries, as well as the only alternative to the N4 toll road. The R104 to the R24 Modderfontein Road Oorschalk intersection is littered with potholes from the R104 to Palestine Drive. Farmers had a fundraiser to fix some potholes on this road. These are provincial roads and links to Airspan Airfield. This is a PRMG road, but not on projects for the province due to limited budget. The R104 Kroondal intersection, Waterfall Mooinooi intersection, has crater-sized potholes. This intersection is mainly used by Anglo Lonman mine trucks and use the road extensively. In November 2021 was the last time the farmers saw the province deliver gravel to patch the potholes, but this just gets washed away. Members will recall that intersection is the one that we were at quite late in the evening. That was very busy with no road lighting as well. Then the R565 past Pukeng and Tlhabane towards Rustenburg. That is the road that members took from the accommodation into Rustenburg. At Pukeng, some stop signs have been run over and need to be replaced. There's also some road damage 1.5 kilometers from the R104 turnoff. The R104 before Tlhabane, the road has surface damage and potholes. Roads in town on the way to the municipal offices and the civic center are in a poor state. Potholes and poor on-road markings. Oversight visit to the Rustenburg local municipality on the implementation of the IPTN. Background to the project. The development of infrastructure started in 2012 as a full-fledged bus rapid transit system. In recent years, due to budget constraints, the project switched to incremental implementation approach and to a quality public transport bus service that can be incrementally scaled to BRT system when demand increases. the overall Rustenburg Rapid Transport or the RRT timelines have been amended to start launch before the end of the 2021-2022 financial year. And as members saw that we were there towards the end of April and the buses were not running. The BRT has started with driver training and technical demonstration and testing of the first bus fleet. The exercise is still underway with various routes and stations being tested, for example, station docking, traffic light synchronization. The testing allows for various defects to be corrected before launch and allows for route data, scheduling, and operational data to be refined. Key achievements to date is indicated by the municipality. According to them, 25 kilometers of BRT lanes and two corridors and the CBD have been constructed. 40 kilometers of walkways and 150 bus stops and wayfinding. Just on a note for the 150 bus stops, the number of bus stops listed as an infrastructure achievement should be questioned as there were not 150 stops along the two routes visited by members. Then the bus depot, according to the municipality, is at 80% completion. The ABT automated fare collection system is being implemented in partnership with SunRail. Stations are overall at 65% completion, but the municipality has yet to appoint a contractor to complete construction. Then on industry transition, also provided from the municipality, local operators are supportive of the project to succeed. Various agreements were concluded, including MOU for the establishment of a bus operating company. The compensation agreement was recently approved for 1.2 million per vehicle operating license. This is their indication, but they did clarify to members that it is for the route or the operating license that is purchased. It's not necessarily that they will get that for each vehicle. And it is up to 1.2 million, as was indicated during discussions. There will be interim monthly payments for those operators who surrender their vehicles and operating licenses. Each affected operator may elect to participate further in Yarona, which is the name of the company that will be operating the bus service. A 200,000 Rand buy-in is required, which is subtracted from the compensation amount. There will be full corridor clearance by using taxis with AFC as part of transitional operation. Then the bus procurement, 10 buses were received in October 2020, with 10 more coming before the end of 2022. In total, the bus operating company that will procure 90 buses for phase 1 and 2 have been formed. 34-seater buses with 20 standing and wheelchair ramps being designed. Then members will see there, I just added a footnote there that the figures differ from the numbers that are indicated in the bus. The buses themselves indicated that it is a 36-seater with 54 standing and one wheelchair bay. The municipality plans to brand and relaunch existing taxis under the BOC. In terms of marketing, the policy is to involve stakeholders at all stages of the project. Stakeholder database has been developed and is updated throughout the project. Public participation sessions have been planned all through 2022 with strong media and stakeholder engagement, branding and local partnerships to create interest and momentum leading up to the launch of initial services. Then we have business planning and development. This was presented in table format from the municipality. So they indicated the work that they would have done or need to do on their bylaws, law enforcement activation, emergency services, the Yarona operating licenses that they would need for each of the buses and on the routes, then operations, how far they are, with their operations. Then the industry transition progress, they also indicate their appointment of advisors were done, surveys and data exchange, compensation model or offer. Establishment of the IPTOC is also completed. Interim service agreements are being streamlined, and then the removal of vehicles They've indicated that 50 vehicles were removed and in safekeeping at the showground temporary depot. Contractual and tax implications of vehicles have been concluded, and that a mechanical evaluation and valuation of the vehicles will be done. And then I added a footnote here. A number of the taxis seen at the interim depot were originally registered as panel vans, and an investigation must be done on whether or not these vehicles are part of the board of illegally converted panel vans, as noted by members during the visit. Integrated public transport company establishment, also indicated here from the municipality. They indicate their progress on those topics. And then again, a footnote that I added, especially here where they indicate that their fleet of 10 buses have been branded and licensed, that none of the buses present on the day of the visit displayed vehicle licenses that were up to date. The vehicle licenses on the buses indicated that they already expired in October 2021. So that was also indicated to the municipal manager that they need to make sure that the updated licenses are on the vehicles if they have been updated. Then also added a footnote here where they indicate for the depot that they appoint staff and activate officers. Is that at the depot, some staff members were visibly stationed in some of the offices already. Then the ITS implementation, the integrated traffic services, this is where the work that they do with the synchronization will have to come in, as well as the ABT certification for the ticketing system. They indicate there's a 3-year contract period. The value for the RFQ, they indicate the status, how far they are. Contract and price negotiations are underway, and then what their next steps are. And they also indicated there that they seek to go live in April 2022. I just added on a note here, especially for the card ticketing system, none of these systems were visible on the 3 buses used during the oversight visit. I could not see the ticketing system or the handling system on there. I'm sure members also picked up on that. Of course, the municipality does indicate here that in-vehicle installation is underway, not necessarily that it is completed yet. Then marketing and communication, they indicate their plans here for those. Infrastructure completion, again, I added a footnote here. Because it speaks to the table. The table is as presented by the municipality, but the footnote also indicates that based on the oversight visit and viewing of the actual infrastructure, there's a real need for the city to review their target dates. One of these that definitely need review is the completion date of July 2022 for the completion of all stations. Because the stations are in dismal condition, as members observed. They indicate their trunk corridors, the feeder routes, the number of stations. The number of stations indicated here is more along the lines of what members saw, as opposed to the 150 indicated earlier. It's definitely closer to the 16 stations that they indicate here, as well as 2 curbside stations. We stopped at the 1 curbside station. Members will recall there where the underside of the roofing of the station had fallen away due to rain damage. The other curbside station we passed when we drove past the magistrate's office. Stops with shelters. They do indicate here that none was planned for phase 1A. Members would have noted that 1A was the phase along the route from King and Tlhabane to Rustenburg. 1B was the other section that we did to Kanana side. Then here is again where they indicate stops, 150 stops completed, or 150 stops to be completed for phase 1A, but they do indicate their next step is none. They do say it's completed in terms of their status, but as I indicated earlier, I'm not sure about 150 stops, unless they also count their feeder routes, which we did not see on the oversight. Non-motorized transport, they indicate that 90 kilometers of NMT was completed. This would be the sidewalks. I did not add a footnote here, but I did add it in the observations. Members will recall that the bicycle paths and the footpaths along the road, especially on the phase 1B or phase 2, the side there, the roadside there, was completely overgrown with grass, and the pedestrians were using the far right of the road, the far left side of the road in the road, or they were walking through the overgrowth instead of using the NMT sections. Then the project expenditure is as indicated by the municipality. This would be expenditure to date. The members were there, and this would be the expenditure that they are looking for in the next financial year, and those are the outer 2 years. The largest one being the 59.8 million for the equipment for the coming year. That would most likely be the additional buses that they have to procure. Then reasons for delay in project implementation. Again, these were the reasons indicated by the municipality. There were town planning objections on the construction of infrastructure in the CBD in the early years. Court judgment was eventually awarded in favor of the municipality to implement bus lanes and stations in the CBD. Prior to this, the municipality was unable to start with construction in the CBD pending the conclusion of the court process, and members will see that the court date there for the judgment was 2013. So they could only really start after 2013, but that is already 9 years ago. Another challenge was that the municipality could not construct all roads at once because it would have caused gridlock to the motorists, and therefore sections of the road had to be constructed in order to minimize construction disruptions. The other delay was the extent of construction work that included relocation of services like bulk water, electricity, telecom lines that had to be relocated. And another reality was that the municipalities allocated a certain budget in a particular financial year. That should just be particular. And thus the entire project had to be broken down into phases in order to have a budget available for each project to be completed. The negotiations with the taxi industry required time and buy-in from the broader taxi membership, and the RLM prides itself with a supportive taxi leadership for the project. So they were able to have the buy-in there from the taxi industry. This one is one of the largest impediments to most of the BRT systems being rolled out throughout the country. Then observations during these inspections. So the committee and other officials boarded 3 Yarono buses to the site inspections and made the following observations. Members will please add here if we missed the observations in our notes while we were on site, but I hope I captured all of them here. It was noted that the vehicle licenses on the 3 buses were expired. One of the 3 buses had a defect with the wheelchair access ramp not retracting as it should and traveled with a warning signal for the duration of the site visits. This bus had 1,632 kilometers on the speedometer. I just noted that in the going by, if members feel it is irrelevant, we can take that out. It is just an indication that they do use the buses for the driver, hopefully for the driver training. but that the buses have been in use for quite some time. While traveling to the first site visit, it could be noted en route that the BRT stop in front of the Magistrates Court building was still under construction and not completed yet. That is the other roadside stop. It was cordoned off as we drove past. The first site stop was at the station, which was in the media in 2019 for the roof collapsing. The stop was at the Faragatla and Tlhabane West intersection, and members made observations and asked questions at the station as indicated in the question list above. Just going to take that above out because the question list was a list that we sent to the municipality to respond to. In terms of the condition of the infrastructure, some scaffold was still up. Some support pillars appeared rusted, grass overgrown despite an attempt to clean up prior to the visit, and rubbish was thrown around. The municipal manager indicated that the bus stops are not open for public use yet, but are being used for driver training and synchronization of the system. The second stop was at the proposed final depot site located next to the driver license testing center. This site was overgrown and has some structures on it. Along the route, it could be observed that roadway infrastructure for the system was constructed, but these lines were not maintained and grass was not cut along the full length of the route. On the R510, especially near HTS Rustenburg and New Covenant Academy, or the Ridder Street stop, it was observed that the BRT dedicated lane road surface was in a very poor state. The station at Ridder Street was the most complete enclosed station on the entire route, despite this being part of phase two. The stops along this route opposite the correctional service, or the stop opposite the Boitekong Mall, the Babutatswana Street R510 crossing stop, and all three stops near Kanana was vandalized. It was also noted that the sidewalk or NMT paths through Kanana had overgrown grass and vegetation, preventing the use of these paths by pedestrians or cyclists. At the third stop in town, behind Grenville High School in the R104, it was noted that the roof of the stop was damaged by rain and not replaced yet. The security guard at the stop indicated to members that the stop was recently cleaned, but is not regularly cleaned. At the fourth stop, members saw the current condition of the interim depot, some of the taxis which have already been taken off routes, and 6 of the 10 buses already procured. Members noted that some of the taxis stopped at the depot were originally registered as panel vans and could possibly be part of the illegal converted taxis that form part of the public protector report. The committee held a debriefing meeting with the officials after the site inspection about the observations. Members were of the view that they should have found completed stations and stops, operational bus services, and minimal issues given how long the project has been running. Some of the infrastructure was in such a poor state that the structures may have to be rebuilt entirely once a new contractor is appointed. It was the view of members that there was instability in the structure, as it was not the work of the municipal manager to run the BRT system. There was a need for experienced staff in the management system to run the service. Recommendations specific to this is that the permanent appointments for the management structure of the BRT project should be finalized in 3 months. If this is not done, the funding for the project should be stopped. Buses should be running in 3 months, and if they still were not running in 6 months, then funding should be stopped. No new funds should be spent on infrastructure. The interim depot should be used, and there is no need for the permanent depot. The municipality should use what they currently have and run the service to start generating some income. Then there were some unannounced visits while we were in Rustenburg. The first one was an unannounced visit at the Municipal Fleet Management Depot, which was recently in the news for storing a large fleet of municipal vehicles that are not being used due to a tender irregularity dispute. This was located at the corner of Lucas and Bosch Streets. Members undertook an unannounced visit to the Fleet Vehicle Management Depot, where it was alleged that over 430 million rand was spent on a fleet of vehicles which are meant to be used for the provision of waste management, electrical, law enforcement, roads and transport services. At the facility, members spoke with the acting facility manager, who indicated that National Treasury found 10-day irregularity with the vehicle purchases, hence the court case to reach finalization on the matter. The vehicles have been standing at the depot for 2 years and are new vehicles. During the site inspection, members observed the following. Most vehicles have plastic covering on the seats and were clearly new. The keys were indicated as being held by the service provider through which the municipality purchased the vehicles. Many of these vehicles are the vehicles they need to cut grass, repair roads and fill potholes and grade gravel roads. The traffic law enforcement vehicles were stored at the DLTC as the fleet depot was full. It was indicated that the refueling system was a problem and the diesel available at the depot was not suitable for the refueling of the BRT bus services and many of the new purchased vehicles. In terms of fleet management of other vehicles in use, the acting manager indicated that there were problems with procuring vehicle parts, and the city is at a point where if a vehicle breaks down and there are no parts for repairs, the vehicles are just parked at the depot. Since September 2021, no orders could go out for fleet repair parts. They do have a deviation permission to refuel the vehicles. Recently, they only had one working fire engine. It was also indicated that there was only one electrical testing machine that had to serve 45 wards. The Municipal Council requested a detailed report on where the court case was by the end of March 2022, and the depot was not being maintained with overgrown grass. The second unannounced visit was to the DLTC VTC, or the Rustenburg Traffic Department. The visit was after office hours, so the facilities inside the DLTC and VTC could not be accessed, but the members noted the property was overgrown with grass and in need of general maintenance. Members saw several roads and transport vehicles with flat tires, as well as several VW GTI traffic law enforcement vehicles parked that were part of the fleet of vehicles that cannot be used due to the court dispute over the 10-day irregularity finding. There were approximately 20 of these vehicles. The next day was the meeting with the Northwest Province Department of Public Works and Roads. The administrator of the Northwest Province Department briefed the committee on its 10-year master plan for the implementation of strategic road infrastructure in the province. The plan focuses on socioeconomic, ecotourism, and rural access roads. The plan further serves as an instrument used for planning and implementation of roads in the province since 2019-2022 financial year, and the department has been able to implement 93 road projects to date. The activities implemented through the master plan include upgrades, rehabilitation or reconstruction and maintenance of provincial road infrastructure network. The provincial department has developed and installed a sophisticated software-based road asset management system, or RAMS, which is continuously updated, upgraded, and expanded to meet with current technological developments. The department has commissioned another study in the financial year 2020-21, which covers all provincial roads and will further provide an updated information pack to update the 10-year master plan. The master plan is composed of the following programs: planning and design, preventative or periodic maintenance, routine maintenance, re-graveling and block paving of access rural roads, reseal, rehabilitation, upgrading from gravel to service standard, tar bridges and major culverts, and road asset management system. According to the latest revised records on their RAMS, they manage approximately 19,668 kilometers of roads in total. The road network has been decreasing due to continuous transfers of the roads to SANRAL. This is primarily because of a lack of proper maintenance as a result of inadequate funding for upgrading and maintenance of road infrastructure. Reduction in length of road network assets is worrying because it reduces the infrastructure funding as well. I do apologize that the table content is very small, members, but that was just so that we are able to add it. This was presented in the Northwest Department's presentation to members, indicating their budgets. Then the key activities of the program as indicated by the province, preventative and periodic maintenance. Funding needed for the scenario is exceptionally high at 2.4 billion, which gives a reasonable estimate of the current needs of the road network. Resurfacing needs, 4.6, or 3,045 kilometers of roads for the next 10 years. Per year for the next 10 years, they estimate a need of 468 million. It is very important to note that the larger percentage of roads currently in fair condition category require urgent attention to move it from fair to good. Otherwise, it will deteriorate further. Rehabilitation needs indicated an average rate of 4 million per kilometer of roads for the next 10 years. It varies from light to heavy rehabilitation. And it's important to note that the large percentage of roads currently in fair condition category point to a future peak in rehabilitation needs. Upgrading needs translates to 2,514 kilometers, average rate of 6.5 million per kilometer. And that's 4% of the roads in the province that needs to be upgraded. And an immediate amount needed per year for 10 years is 3.7 billion, as opposed to the current allocation of 1.3. Then they do indicate their PRMG budget allocations and equitable share allocations. Members will see in the comments that I did note the concern that some of the figures presented by the province differ from the figures presented by the minister in a question to Parliament or in answering a question from Parliament. Concluding remarks from the department was that the province requires approximately 37 billion in order to address its roads infrastructure upgrading and maintenance challenges, which translates to 3.7 billion a year. This will make the province to be easily accessible and to attract potential investors to come and invest in the province. Priority is given to ecotourism, economic corridors and other important routes that have potential for economic development. The Northwest Province Roads Infrastructure Development funding is not adequately funded and depends primarily on the PRMG, which is mainly for maintenance of provincial roads. Current equitable share allocation is by far less than what is required. With the grant and current commitments, it clearly shows that roads infrastructure is not a high priority in the province, which is worrying, noting that roads infrastructure is the primary driver of economic development demand. Then on the observations, the figures presented on the PRMG budget differs from the figures presented by the department and Treasury. Contractors that are appointed to perform the work must be suitably skilled and financially able to complete the contract work without stopping early due to liquidity issues, and the minister should have been at the meeting due to the department being under administration. Recommendations that the province should match the PRMG and equitable share with their own funding allocation for road maintenance. The province should increase law enforcement to monitor overload on roads. Roads are eroded by overloading and will keep damaging any maintenance done on the roads. The province should have plans in place to escalate the repair of roads that are for economic benefit in the province. Then on the visit to Mzunduzi local municipality, they provided the background to the project. Project commenced in 2011-12. The suspension letter regarding the grant was received 18 December 2019. The infrastructure component of the project is currently 99% complete. The expenditure to date is 74% of the current allocation. The funding allocation of the project since inception is 1.5 billion. The expenditure on the project since inception is 991.15 million. The municipality requests support for the reinstatement of the project to operationalize the phase 1A of the IPTN project. The project status post-suspension as provided by the municipality. Their readiness services were suspended. Project only focused on commitments that were entered into before 19 December 2019. Some components of infrastructure were commitments where commitments were not signed by the time of suspension were affected, such as the land acquisition and widening of the Msunduzi River Bridge. The roads alignment for WP 2 and 3 had to be revised due to land acquisition and widening of Msunduzi River Bridge constraints. The contracts for the IPTN PMU staff were not renewed, and the project IPTN is currently implemented under the Roads and Transport Department of the municipality. After several engagements with the National Department of Transport and Treasury, the shortfall amount to settle all commitments was approved. They indicate their work package implementations by when they completed work package 1 and 4. Practical completion for package 2 as from 28 February 2022 is road widening, is tying back to existing lanes over the Msunduzi Bridge. Bridge was not widened due to the suspension, as at the time of suspension, the contractor was not yet appointed, as there were environmental impact assessment challenges. Work package 3, practical completion as from 28 February 2022. This is where the land acquisition came into effect, the project. This is their project budget and expenditure indicated from 2009 to date. Challenges in project implementation as indicated by the municipality. There was procurement delays due to non-responsive bidders and objections. Typical construction challenges such as relocation of services, disputes between main contractors and subcontractors, stoppage of work by business forums, and traffic congestion. Other challenges were insufficient planning, administrative instability, political instability, and the project team capacity. Although the road infrastructure component of the project has been completed, the municipality is not ready for operations as the operational readiness services were affected by the suspension in December 2019. This will result in loss or delayed opportunity for the municipality to deliver an improved public transport system. There is also regression with the progress made with the taxi industry and community at large. Value for money that has been spent will not be realized as the objectives of the project were not achieved. The community at large and businesses were patient with government during planning and infrastructure implementation, looking forward to the benefits of the system. Now it will take time for them to realize these benefits. Then they indicate their turnaround plan and request for interventions. Implementation has been completed. The municipality allocated a budget of 5 million in the next financial year towards operational and business plan for IPTN projects. The taxi industry was united and committed to the project, although the suspension affected the trust between the parties. Base surveys and business value surveys to determine affected stakeholders and associations has been collected. The city has new political leadership. Due to scaling down of the project, the IPTN project is managed in-house. The municipality is a primary economic hub within the district municipality, and its strategic location has favored and helped the city to establish and develop a strong industry base. The project does affect the neighboring municipalities as well. The implementation of town center development, which is an NDPD program that was aimed at enforcing the integration between land use and public transport has commenced. Budget of 100 million for land acquisition has been released. In addition, the Higher Department of Education has invested 500 million for realignment of Sukuma Technical High School with DUT within the same vicinity. Based on the surveys, about 60% of Msunduzi residents are dependent on public transport. Most of these commuters come from the greater Edendale and Vulindlela areas, which is part of phase 1A. Then the observations from members. Most of the stops were along the Moses Mabida Road. So I tried to get it to the nearest intersection so that we have the location information there. Site 1 was Moses Mabida and Sutherland Road. that this is the starting point of the BRT trunk route, and this is where traffic congestion starts heading into town. This is access to town from Imbali Township and outside towns. This is a provincial road. There are dedicated bus lanes from here into Church Street, and there are non-motorized transport facilities for cyclists and pedestrians and lighting. The traffic lights at the first two stops were not functioning due to cable theft, and a contractor had been appointed to attend to the traffic light repairs. These sections of roads and base sidewalk for stops were completed in May 2020. The station will be constructed on the center meridian. There were questions regarding the site construction, regarding the date of completion and the fact that all one can see is a dedicated lane and no other construction. There was a question regarding the grass cutting that is needed and weed removal from paving. There was also a question regarding whether the station will be a closed or open station. It was indicated that it was meant to be an enclosed station, but it will start with the open station with only a roof. Only the road was constructed and the station construction has not commenced at any of the stops along the road or route. Site 2 is approximately 150 meters from Site 1 at Archie Gumede Drive. The traffic lights here were also not working due to cable theft. There was an 18-month delay due to objections on the site. The proposed depot site for one of the depots is on the left side of the road as you face town. An EIA was done on the entire route. However, there were some issues with wetland areas and offset had to be done. The plan designs were there for the entire route, but now downscaling as the design is based on a bigger demand forecast for phase 1A and will be extended as it begins to be implemented. There will not be a filling station at the depot, but have identified other areas where buses would be able to refuel. There is no EIA approval for a fueling station here. Only planning one depot for phase 1A, still planning a total of 9 depots for full operations, consisting of mini depots, but only if the project is running and in operation. Site 3 is start of work package 3, Moses Mabhida Road. The section is affected by land acquisition to be done from the bridge to this site point. There were issues and objections, and this is still under discussion. From here on, the road tapers back to the existing lanes. The site is roughly a kilometer from the bridge and the road splits again closer to town. There are negotiations to expand the bridge. However, the EIA issue caused the delay and the land acquisitions to be from the bridge to the site point. The bridge is Msunduzi Bridge and the road from there is a municipal road. There are business stakeholder involvement and working with them in the province in bilateral meetings. The directive from the Premier is to work with the municipality and Tukwini. The project funding suspension stopped the IGR engagement on this aspect. It was also noted that the site is where the NMT infrastructure ends, and it is questioned why this was not continued. The municipal officials indicated that the stoppage was due to the EIA issues and work that could not continue on the bridge. Elected to use a raised crossing as a temporary measure, but the EIA was not approved for this. It was also noted that the stop had no infrastructure to allow for universal access. There were no ramps onto the sidewalks on either side of the road or to the stop center meridian. The officials indicated that it was also hampered by the EIA not being finalized. They also indicated that the design was affected by funding stoppage, but that universal access designs were used closer into town again. Officials indicated that there were many wetlands along the route and the EIA was initially done for the entire project. The suspension of funding, they tapered it down to only cover those areas they could continue working on based on existing commitments. The depot, for example, is also not built due to it falling under the EIA assessment linked to the bridge. The phase one is a 4.8 kilometer stretch and the estimated passenger figures for this route will be forwarded to the committee. The traffic management plan being considered to open lanes for taxi use, but this would require on-route guidance by traffic officers as the taxi doors are not on the side of the center meridian, so passengers would alight into traffic, which is dangerous. This third stop area is not paved as there is some final work yet to be completed. There was a view that the taxi should be able to use these lanes by the end of May 2022. Site 4, members will recall, is right next to the Prosa train station.
There's a large to let sign in the station grounds, and the station is not in use, has no commuter trains run to or from here anymore. The stop is the end of the Phase 1A corridor. The next phase is from here by Church Street and plan to improve the road to the northern areas through town. The original plan was that the stop would be set with passengers from the train station, and then there will be a station for bus stops further down in Church Street. The turnaround area for these buses is in mixed traffic and will use a route of the existing street to turn around. During the debriefing session, members wanted to know why they should support the reinstatement of the grant after what they observed on the roads, as the responses by officials on the site inspection left much to be desired. The passengers gained nothing out of what was constructed so far. The municipality could not do basic maintenance on the road, such as grass cutting or fixing dysfunctional traffic lights. The non-motorized transport section looked of poor quality and did not look like it would last. Then recommendations for this specific portion is that the figures presented by the municipality needed to be verified and the correct figures must be sent to the committee. The management team for the IPTN system must be comprised of skilled officials that are dedicated, and permanent appointments must be made to eliminate reliance on acting appointments. The focus should be on rolling out quality bus services on the infrastructure already in place. And the committee recommended that if the Department of Transport and National Treasury reinstated the grant, it must be phased in with monthly reports to the committee to monitor progress. Chair, that is the oversight report. Members will see that the observations and recommendations were listed under each of the specific visits so that we don't have one full batch at the end. So we look forward to any further input from members on this. And then I will capture those. And if members choose to proceed, Chair, then we can consider adopting the report with those possible amendments. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Advocate. Honorable members, there are the reports from our oversight. Let's hear from members. I can see Honorable Situlo is ready. Let's see other hands. We can't have one hand for this report. Honorable Situlo will be followed by Honorable McDonald, followed by Honorable Keta Mobala, Bogwas Tole. In that order, please.
Chairperson, thank you once again, and thank you to Advocate Nell for the comprehensive report. I concur that it is a true reflection of our own observation, or my observations in particular. I think other members might also be able to indicate additions. But where I want to add, Honorable Chairperson, in particular to the recommendations being made in as far as the Rustenburg Rapid Transport is concerned, I think indeed we need to get a clear record of just exactly how many bus stations are completed from the 150 stops that were mentioned, because I think that even outside of the committee oversight, my own oversight, I can confirm that that is not a true reflection. That is the emphasis that I want to make. And then secondly, Chairperson, I think that we have to, from the point of the portfolio committee, be very clear in as far as those reports are concerned, in as far as Rustenburg is concerned. We need to be able to know where they are in as far as the process is concerned. We need to be able to know exactly when are they actually going to have the rollout of the bus service. I think that's the second thing that I wanted to add in there. And then the third thing, Chairperson, I don't know to what extent this will obviously affect our own role as the portfolio committee. However, the fact that we have roads that are being used by trucks is directly because of the law enforcement vehicles that we saw that are standing there and not doing anything. So the municipality cannot be able to police, so to speak, the road where these trucks are navigating or running away from toll gates, because they've got fleet that is standing, that is supposed to be used by the law enforcement agency in the municipality. So how do we then as a committee make sure that we are able to then press the municipality to look into the situation in as far as those vehicles are concerned, so that they can be able to deploy traffic officials that will be able to police that particular road that we saw during our oversight, that they can then redirect those trucks to the correct route, because otherwise we're going to see a situation where there is an over deterioration of the road that we visited because of the illegal use by these trucks in that particular municipality. The first thing, Chairperson, I don't know how the committee will be able to get a current report on the situation regarding the fleet that that is now longstanding. In as far as the Advocate Nell indicated, the over 400 million that has been used to procure that particular fleet, and the current situation with the court case and so forth and so on. Because it is an indictment, it is really an injustice to the residents of the municipality to have that brand new fleet standing there. And you can only imagine after so many years of the fleet standing there, what is going to be the mechanical result thereof or impact thereof once this whole court thing is settled. What is going to be the condition of those of that particular fleet? The first issue, Chairperson, that I want to indicate, in as far as the Northwest Provincial Department of Public Works and Roads is concerned, we saw a presentation. Yes, there are discrepancies. Advocate Nell is correct. There are discrepancies in as far as the PRMG is concerned when you compare it to the presentation that was made by the department administrator, Mr. Moremi. But when you look at the allocation of the PRMG to the Northwest, Chairperson, what you quickly realize is that the Northwest has a problem of spending, because of the total 7 billion that they've received since 2011, they've sent back 2 billion back to Treasury as unspent. So the province has a big issue, including the municipality of Rustenburg. They've got a very big issue in as far as their ability to spend funds is concerned. And that is something that I would imagine we would need to obviously have a greater oversight on as a committee in making sure that this particular province is able to spend its money. The other thing that I want to include in as far as the department is concerned, is that we need to have a look at currently how many provincial roads in the Northwest are being upgraded from gravel to tar, and what is the budget allocated for each road that is being upgraded from gravel to tar. You'll remember, the chairperson was not there, but one of the questions that I asked in the meeting with the department was specific to a road that I am aware of, where a contractor was paid well over 40 million rands, with the total budget being 65 million, to construct a 10-kilometer road in the municipality of Greater Taung in the district of Ruth Mombati. That particular situation, that particular matter is now in court because the department had made a mistake in their bill of quantities, or they had made an arithmetic error, which meant that the contract was due to be well over 100 million as opposed to 65 million. So we need a report from the department on where are they with issues such as that road of D2, I think D208, with the contractor and having gone to court. So we need a report as a committee to say where are they as a department, in as far as the upgrading of provincial roads from gravel to tar, and of the provincial road network that they currently have, which roads must they still re-gravel, and then obviously plan for upgrading from gravel to tar. The biggest concern, and I think Advocate Nell touched on it, and I think Honorable Mangu raised the issue also in the meeting, to say the allocation of the PRMG, it seems as if the province in itself is not budgeting for road construction, but are dependent on the issue of the grant of the PRMG in as far as maintenance is concerned. Advocate Nell, we also need to check in as far as the 20% of the total allocation is concerned, whether it is in fact true that only 20% of that amount can be used to upgrade a surface from gravel to tar. Because I think that is something that was indicated in the response, but we could never really get a clear understanding of whether that is actually correct. Because if it is correct, then we would need to find out from the department how much of the money they used, of the total percentage have they used to upgrade provincial roads from gravel to tar. Chairperson, I think the other oversight specifically from I think it's Tumsun Buzi, I think Advocate captured the observations well in as far as the committee is concerned. But over and above that, I think the biggest issues that we have, Chairperson, in particular with the Northwest, is the type of contractors that are contracted by the department to undertake these maintenances and construction. It's a big issue because it seems as if there is a culture in this province where contractors start projects and then abandon them thereafter. And I think that's something that we also need to raise and to be very unapologetic about as a committee in as far as our observations are concerned. Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to Advocate Nell.
Thank you, Mukhayesu. Honorable McDonald.
Thank you, Chairperson. Firstly, I want to thank Advocate Nell for the comprehensive report, Chairperson, and then I want to just make some observations. On the Mpumalanga visit on the Molato Rail, it would have been really nice if the Minister did his budget speech then, because now, after we've told the community that the Minister has taken the rail off the map, in his recent budget speech, he has now indicated that it's now back on the road. So back on the rail is back on the road, on the roadmap for Molato. And that would have been very nice as a committee to extend that type of information to the community. But it is what it is, Chairperson. And I think that the department needs to give us a comprehensive feedback on the Patco bus situation, and that's very urgent because we promised the community that we'd get back to them. And then on the Northwest, Chairperson, the previous speaker has alluded to mostly everything that I wanted to raise, and I think that the department has spent so much money there and the buses are not running. Those buses need to run. Otherwise the taxpayer is not getting value for money, and the South African citizens and the poorest of the poor can't use the service. There's no use in having buses and testing and get the buses on the road that they can start working so that the people can use the bus services. Then, Chairperson, on the condition of the roads and specifically the roads used by the mines, these mines should be ashamed of themselves, Chairperson. They literally bypass the toll gates and the way bridges and destroy the economy for others. And they are the biggest profit makers in this country, the platinum. I mean, literally the biggest. We're 40% of the world's platinum comes from South Africa. And what do? They destroy our roads. Chairperson, I think there must be some way that these mine companies must start contributing to the roads in this country, Chairperson. On Umzumduzi, they need to, I'm in full support that they get back into the program. They need to revisit some of their things, especially that the poor design of the BRT. I mean, the BRT doesn't even connect to the train station, which is the Brazza train station. So they need to revisit that and get a better plan, and I think then we can support them. Chairperson, those are a few of my observations and my recommendations. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable McDonald. Let's get Honorable Ketamabala, followed by Honorable Pitmay.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, I cannot say a lot because most of my items was taken by other members. But only the first one that I want to emphasize, Chairperson, is that in Northwest, we were victims by members of the Portfolio Committee of Northwest. Their behavior, Chairperson, was uncalled for. Because even the people speaker was vocally, and they were trying to actually hijack our meeting. I don't know what kind of leadership that you do have in Northwest, Chairperson. It was actually very disgusting and really disappointing when you see the behavior of our leadership in the province. And the other one, Chairperson, is that one of the fleet, because we cannot see, Honorable Chairperson, bought a lot of fleet, but they are not usable. They are not using them because of some cases, some court cases and some actually unrealistic from the department and from the municipalities, and because there is no coordination effort that is happening in Northwest, because even the potholes in Northwest, the roads that are not, and the buses that are not working, they even show us where the bus stations, but those bus stations are not working. There's a lot of things that as a portfolio committee chairperson, I put this one to you, that we have to do an unannounced visit again to Northwest, because that province is deteriorating, Chairperson. That province needs some strong leadership, because we cannot say as a portfolio committee we just visited there and then after there will be no consequence management, or there is no implementation that is happening in that area. I think, Chairperson, I cannot say a lot about Umzumduzi, because in Umzumduzi we need to go again, the Chairperson, to actually they need help from our side to help them so that they can reorganize themselves for that project that they have in Umzumduzi, because there's a lot of things, because we know that there was a lot of maladministration and corruption that happened at Umzumduzi. So that we cannot punish people because of officials' corruptions. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mondi, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. I support the report. Chairperson, all I want to say, Rustenburg is in a terrible state, and I suggest that a forensic investigation must be done there. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Member. That brings to the end the number of hands I've noted. Advocate. Almanel.
I see that the one member raised their hand quickly.
That member I had already recognized long ago, and I gave the member 8 minutes to say what he wanted to say. Maybe he had forgotten one thing. Honorable Sejong.
Yeah, Chair, thank you for your indulgence. I had wanted to indicate the situation in as far as the Northwest Province giving some of its road network to SANRAL. So I think perhaps it's the issue again when you look at KZN and the Free State with this issue of SANRAL taking over certain road networks. And perhaps as a portfolio committee, it might assist us to have a look at just how many kilometers of road does SANRAL have to take over from provinces, including the Northwest, and what the budget implications of that is, provided that SANRAL is already getting a vast amount of money from the department in as far as their road network is concerned. And they are responsible for less, or the building or construction or the maintenance of a lesser network compared to provinces and municipalities. And perhaps it might be worth our while as a portfolio committee to have a look at that kind of situation. And so that we do not become, well, there are issues obviously of budget allocations and spending, as I've alluded to the fact of the Northwest, but let's look as a committee, look at provinces that are struggling and where the SANRAL with its budget can be able to, you know, take over some of those roads. Thank you, Chair.
So you would suddenly have a change of heart on the province you're coming from. I hear what you're saying, Honorable Member. Advocate?
Thank you, Chair. I quickly just want to run through the highlights that I would then be adding to the report. For Rustenburg, that the committee gets a clear record of exactly how many stations are completed out of the 150 stops indicated. That the committee must know where the city is currently in the process of running out the IPTN and by when they will roll out the bus service. Whether or not those dates will have to be amended that they presented. The only thing that I can propose regarding the fleet concerns is that the committee request a report on the progress of the Rustenburg fleet acquisition. And progress on the court matter in this regard, including the court date or by when they estimate that that situation will be finalized. Regarding the PRMG expenditure, I would suggest we add, as we've done in the BRRR reports and the budget reports, that PRMG expenditure oversight must be improved by the department. Then also add a request for a report from the Northwest Department on the upgrading of provincial roads and roads that they are aiming to take from gravel to tar and the ones that will just be re-graveled. That one will also link up with, if we go broader, that the Department of Transport give the committee an indication on how much of the PRMG for all the provinces are used for the upgrading of roads. I think the members will recall that Whitey was in the 1D briefing and he indicated the percentage there, but he said that the percentage that is allowed, if I recall correctly, I think it's 25%, but it's not to upgrade it from gravel to tar, it's more of an upgrade to paved or brick type or blocked. They use a specific term for that. But I will try and just do a request in this report that the department indicates for all the provinces out of the PRMG budget what percentage of that is used for upgrading of roads. Then also considering the concerns over Sunroll taking over roads and the proposal from Mr. May that Sunroll should take over more roads, I suggested a recommendation that the committee should get a report from the department on to date how many provincial roads have been taken over from the provinces by Sunroll and how many roads and their locations are planned in the next 2 to 3 years to be taken over, because I'm sure members will recall that I think the provinces had told today to respond to the department and the minister regarding which economically strategic roads they would be willing to give over to Sunroll. There was also an indication from Treasury in the past that they must be wary because we cannot just transfer everything to Sunroll. There was also an indication in the presentation, I think from Whitey, that he said that the transfer of roads to Sunroll will be limited and that Sunroll, I think the limit or the cap that they are looking at for Sunroll to manage is 35,000 kilometers of roads. So they will most likely not go over that allocation. Then another suggestion is that it is there in short, but I'll just make sure that the recommendation comes out clear, is that the department must, we can add one, especially now after the change on the Mulatto Rail issue again, that the department give the committee feedback or report exactly on how they plan to incorporate the Mulatto Rail corridor, as well as a report on the PUTCO bus contract, the extension of the tenders for those bus contracts. I think what is important is that the amendments to the NLTA may also affect whether or not the provinces are going to continue with these extensions, because the municipalities will have to roll up their sleeves and start taking over these contracts and issue new tenders. That might alleviate the concerns that the Mulatto residents also had for that route. Then another recommendation is the possibility that the department should consider how the mining industry can contribute to the repair of roads that are damaged, clearly damaged due to overloading. Either we can phrase it as the industry in general with, that make use of heavy load fleet vehicles, or if members would like us just to keep it for the Northwest in the mining industry, I will phrase it in that way. Either get the mining industry to possibly contribute to the repair of the roads, or how best the province can prevent overloading on the roads, given some of the constraints that the Northwest had that we saw at Rustenburg. Then a further recommendation is that there needs to be improved coordination in the Northwest for road repairs and public transport provision. And then also, if members agree, especially for the Rustenburg fleet vehicle situation, that a I don't know if Mr. May would like that to be just for the fleet vehicles or the general maintenance and the also the BRT system running in Rustenburg, but the forensic investigation, that a forensic investigation be done. I think it's, it should definitely be something that is in place for the fleet vehicle issue based on Treasury's finding that it was irregular tenders. Chair, so those are the salient points that I took from members, which I will be able to incorporate into the report if the members would like to proceed with adopting it with those amendments, Chair.
Honourable members, there we are. Let me see hands. Honourable McDonald.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think with the suggestion of the trucks that Advocate Nell has made, I think the heavy trucks in general at this point would be too encumbersome. I think we must get the low hanging fruit. So I would suggest that we make it specific to the mining trucks using those roads in that area, because they are the abusers of the road. And then otherwise I'm move for the adoption, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable McDonald. Ubaba Uketa Ambala Wagastrole.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Now, I think Honorable Chairperson for the private companies and the road users, you must just put as general, you mustn't just specifically look at Northwest, because that thing is happening all over the country. From what I say now, I do support that we must adopt our report. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. I see that Honorable Mangu has made it to the meeting. He had initially apologized and said he'll try and connect. We do appreciate that. Welcome, Honorable Mangu. Thank you, Honorable Uketa Mabala, as you lower your hand. Any other hand that want to say something?
Yes, my hand was up. Good morning.
Good.
It's already afternoon. It's already, I'm sorry.
Thank you,
Chair. Good afternoon, colleagues. Chair, I just wanted to make an observation on the recommendations regarding trucks and mines. I think we should maybe look at it more closely, because in my understanding, the trucks that are damaging the roads are not owned by mines, but they are suppliers to the mines of different commodities or moving certain commodities. Might not be all of them, but I think in the main, there are people who are not in the mine or they don't belong to the mine. So if we count them that the mines must then contribute, I think we might find a little bit of resistance. Whilst I cannot differ with the damage that is caused by these trucks to the roads, maybe we need to find a better way of couching it. Because at the end of the day, it boils down to lack of law enforcement. If the provinces and the local authorities were enforcing overload control, we wouldn't be talking what we are talking. I just wanted to make that intervention, Chair. And thanks for welcoming me. Thanks, Chair. That's all I wanted to say.
Thanks, Ubaba Ujambas. Welcome. Any other view, hand, honorable members? Otherwise, the report has been adopted, Advocate. Thank you very much. We're happy to move to the last item, number 7, adoption, consideration and adoption of minutes of the 10th of May. This is a set of minutes that many items that we're doing today were actually postponed to this meeting. I've gone through the minutes myself. I've seen them. I've not seen any issue that needs correction. I'm happy to hear from members who have read the minutes. Otherwise, any mover for adoption?
Chairperson, Honorable McDonald moves.
Honorable MacDonald moves. Honorable Shabang.
Second that, sir.
I'm so happy to hear you supporting the minister.
Yeah, for the first time.
Thank you. No, thanks, honorable members. This brings this meeting to the end of the agenda items. Valerie, when is our next meeting? And what are the items?
Okay, the next meeting is on the 7th, and that will be the last meeting for the term because the House is sitting from 10 o'clock on the 14th of June, and then we'll go into constituency break until August. So the agenda items at this stage will be the fourth quarter expenditure of the DOT. They indicated they're ready, and then the road traffic amendment bill, clause by clause. That will be it, Chair, and a possible look, Chair, at the draft program for the third term. I will send that to members outlined by the end of this week. That will be it because the committee has now disposed of the two oversight reports.
The meeting is still at 9 o'clock at the same meeting venue, the virtual platform. Thank you very much to officials, state law advisors, parliamentary law advisors, our own advocate Nell, all our officials, the officials from the department who are here with us today, and all the honorable members. This meeting is accordingly brought to its logical end. It has served its purpose. I want to release you and say thank you very much. Long live to everybody.
Thank you, Chairperson. Have a great day.
Long live the chair. Thank you. Thank you, Mkhayesu and everybody. Thank
long
you, please. And thank you.
Realeboha. Modula.
Wamba ma phone, Mangad.
Send a message, Konamaje, Jambas.